We reached the stage in the parsha yesterday that Moshe was now on the morning of the 19th of Tammuz, the second day after the creation of the Egel, and Moshe again went up to heaven, and he stayed for 40 days. The 40 days would be until the 29th of Av. And he used those 40 days to plead with God not to destroy the people. And he said, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you yourself caused them to sin. You loaded them up with gold and silver during Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he says, a metaphor is a lion. He says, a lion only kicks when it's got a full belly, when it has a full trough of meat that it doesn't have to worry about its next meal. Moshe went on with a large litany of arguments to protect Klal Yisroel with intensity and fervor, that it said his whole body became feverish and he was actually physically ill. And we know the famous psukim. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why should your anger burn against the people who you brought out of Mitzrayim? They never really intended to make a calf as an idol. They only made it to be a representation of your Shekhinah because for whatever reason, they hadn't gotten to the stage where they could think about God without something tangible as a medium. They had hoped, and Aaron had been involved in trying to make something which would represent the Shekhinah. The Egel was not to anger you. It was not a deliberate act of rebellion. They felt I was God and they needed something in my place. And he said, remember, they spent so many years in Mitzrayim where they brought sacrifices to every getchka around. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please consider there a grand total of 7 weeks plus. Well, actually, it's 7 weeks plus 40 days. So they're 14 weeks out of Mitzrayim, and they haven't got the Mitzrayim out of the Jew yet. They're in a rehabilitation process, and they're getting to the stage where they'll do things more perfectly to be God's nation. And then we have the famous pasuk, right? Why should Mitzrayim say that Barah, that the idol Ra, or because you, God, wanted to take vengeance, you took them out of Mitzrayim to kill them in the desert? It'll be a chilul Hashem. Please, abate your anger and revoke this decree where you said, I will destroy B'nai Yisroel and I will make you a nation in their place. And then we have the famous pasuk that we spoke about last week. If, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you do not give them forgiveness, then take my name out of the Torah. And we learned about that last week. Finally, he turned towards Ma'aras HaMachbela, where the Avos are, and he said, assist me at this time when your people are about to be destroyed. And he said, remember Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, your servants, whom you swore by your holy name, I will multiply your children like the stars of the heaven. Remember the 12 holy tribes, your servants, and save Bnei Yisrael in their merit. Even if they did transgress the Aseres Adibros, the Ten Commandments, with this ego worship, remember Avram Avinu was tested 10 times for reasons you chose, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and has yet to be rewarded for them. Let this reward save them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, not rather, Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you think they deserve death by burning, remember what Avram did when he went into the fires in front of the king in Ur Kasdim. Let his willingness to be Mekadei Shem Shemayim, giving up his life, be a sufficient merit. Remember Yitzchak, who wanted to be tied up so tightly on the Mizbeach, so he shouldn't possibly cause a psul in being a perfect sacrifice. Yaakov had to endure the exile with Lavan to go and get a wife according to his parents' command. That exile, let it be sufficient to gain atonement. And he said, do not judge the Jews more sternly than you did stone. He said, there you told Avram, if there are 10 tzaddikim, I will save them. And he said, we have at least 10 tzaddikim. Aaron, Elazar, Isamar, Pinchas, Yehoshua, Kate, Kalev, and myself. Hashem said, you're up to 7. And then he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have you promised us Techias HaMesim? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, of course. And he said, then we have Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov. We have a minion. Moshe spent 40 days davening to the Rabbona Shalom. And it says Hashem agreed to spare Klal Yisroel, not in their merit, but on account of the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov. And he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, arise now and lead the people, Teretz Yisroel. I am going to send a malach to lead you, not my direct Shechina. If my Shechina is there, they are in peril of doing something wrong and being destroyed. And Hashem said, I will remove the effects of the sin of the golden calf throughout the generations. And there's a chazal that says that whenever punishment is meted out by Hashem to Klal Yisroel, some part of it is to atone for the sin of the ego. Finally, on the 29th day of Av, which would be the last day of that month, the month wasn't 30 days, Moshe returned to the people. Moshe had received the Rabbona Shlolem's mercy, had ensured the continued existence of Klal Yisroel, but they were not fully forgiven for their sin. Moshe Rabbeinu was now in a situation where the Shechina that he always had panim el panim conversation with, God's presence, would no longer be in the camp. So Hashem, he said, has moved out of the camp, so I must move out of it too in order to continue communicating. He took his tent and put it 2,000 amos outside the camp. Exactly 2,000, so the people could go there on Shabbos. They wouldn't violate, right, the Tchum. This is the maximum distance that people can travel on Shabbos outside of city boundaries. And the Shechina manifested itself in Moshe's location. It says somehow there was a presence of Shechina on his tent. Whenever someone needed advice, direction, which was needed from the Shechina, they would come out to Moshe's tent. And it says, whenever Moshe would walk out of his tent, people, wherever they were, stood up out of respect. And they said, look with your eyes at this great tzaddik who has been assured that wherever he moves, the Shechina follows. The cloud of the Shechina was over Moshe's tent. And when the people came there, they would bow to the Shechina. Hashem would give Moshe whatever instruction was needed if Moshe couldn't paskin the question, the shaila being asked, right? Moshe would then take the information and would go back into the camp to teach the elders. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu noticed the behavior, the improved behavior of Klal Yisroel, how they bowed before the Shechina, of the deference they gave to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I see it's inappropriate that the Rebbe and the Talmud, meaning Hashem and Moshe, don't live in the camp. Go back. And Moshe said, I can't go back because I need to be in the presence of the Shechina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if that's the case, Yehoshua will lead in the camp. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you knew I moved out here not to show a display of anger. It was merely a kavod shemayim. But Hashem persisted and Moshe went back. Moshe tried to daven that the presence of the Shechina would reappear in the camp. And Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've told us that an angel's going to lead us. He says, I don't accept that, Moshe said. I'm going to stay here. We're not going to follow a malach. Will only follow you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You promised to lead us personally. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, cannot claim that you didn't know in advance of the sin of the ego. How is it then that you could have promised earlier that your own presence would lead us? If we only have a Moach, this will be felt by the other nations, that we are in a diminished capacity and that we're no better than other nations who have prophets and who are guided by a guardian angel. Moshe was saying that you acquired us as your children when you took us out of Mitzrayim. And a father, no matter what the child may do, remains a father in the presence of children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, accepted Moshe's tefillah. And this was to teach that a tzaddik does have the greatness to annul HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decree. And Hashem said, as long as you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are at the helm of Klal Yisroel, you will be led by a malach. Only in you will be led by me, by my Shechina. Only in Yehoshua's leadership will it be a malach. As for the comment that the other nations of the world have leaders who are prophets, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I accept your argument. And it says, from that point on, even the greatest of the Gentile prophets received a backhanded type of revelation from Hashem. They needed a medium. Even when we learned about Bilam, who was said to be given the ability to rise to Moshe Rabbeinu's level had he acted properly, he would have never had the direct revelation that Moshe received. Moshe realized that this was a time of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's favor, and he wanted to ask for something else. And he asked the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, could you please teach me, Hareini Noas Darkecha, teach me your ways. Could you please explain to me why there is a tzaddik who may have a difficult life and a Rasha who lives the life of Riley? He says, I want to understand. I want a revelation to be understand the way you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lead the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let me tell you reality, Moshe Rabbeinu. No human eye, not even the greatest Navi, which Moshe was, can ever understand in this world the Olam HaEmes, the Olam Haba. You can't explain Olam Haba. And we had this conversation before. Remember at the burning bush, there I was willing to give you this type of knowledge and you refused. Now that you wanted, I refuse. But he said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you will receive the highest level of prophecy that can exist in this world. He said, I will demonstrate to you a faint reflection of the spiritual pleasures of the so-called Suda meal in Gan Eden. And I will let you know as much as any human being is capable of knowing while remaining alive about how I conduct my ways, my punishment with Rishayim. And this is one of these enigmatic statements. He said, while you are going to be in the rock, the mountain, and receive this type of revelation, I am going to shield you with my cloud. Therefore, you will reach the level of seeing my glory, but you cannot, while alive, experience my full glory. Moshe was given a vision, it says, of different treasures prepared for tzaddikim in Gan Eden. These were viewed by him. And it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyacho pointed and said, this is a treasure for the Balei Tzedaka. This is the one given for those who raise orphans. And finally, Moshe saw an amazingly large treasure. And he said, who is this treasure for, Rabbono Shel Olam? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is a treasure for those who lack merits, but upon whom I, Rabbono Shel Olam, bestow my favor out of being rachamim, out of mercy, out of being merciful. The treasure, Chazal tell us, the Medrash says, was immense. Because it says most people are not deserving of the actual rewards HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon them. It says Hashem explained in some way certain rules. Some people enjoy a good life here and in Olam Haba because they are complete tzaddikim. There may be a tzaddik who undergoes suffering in this world. Maybe it's a factor that he has certain averos which are in this way taken away in this world so that he has a perfect reward in Olam Haba. And there's another possibility that there are some tzaddikim that are so great that they can bear, let us call, the sins of the nation, whatever that means. We have certain well-known Rishoyim who seem to live a tranquil life because they're not totally wicked. They may have done the odd mitzvah here and there, and God wants to reward them in this world. He doesn't want them to have any reward in the world to come. And there are some people that are totally, totally Rishayim, and sometimes they truly do get their just reward in this world. We human beings probably do not perceive that very often. We often wonder, how can Hamas exist? How could Hitler have come on the scene? And we have no answers. And presumably Moshe Rabbeinu may not have had the answer as well. Hashem Yisbarach, as we will learn tomorrow, taught Moshe Rabbeinu the 13 attributes of mercy. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum B'chanun, Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesed V'Emes, etc. And it says, somehow, Moshe had a perception of the Ribbono Shel Olam wrapping himself in a talis and enunciating these things. And he taught Moshe that when Klal Yisroel needs to get kapara, forgiveness, assistance, this is what they should do. And we know that we do it on every single fast day. We know we do it during Slichos, during Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, the Pharisee Meya Tshuva, up to Yom Kippur. This was the amazing gift HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. The ability to call upon His mercy. Moshe goes up a third time on Har Sinai, and he goes up on the first of Elul, and 40 days later is Yom Kippur, and he comes down with the second Luchos, which are the Luchos that are still buried under the Har Habayis in the Aron, together with the first broken Luchos. Moshe then, when he came down, had a special radiance emanating Kedusha from his forehead, and he would cover it with a veil, leaving it exposed only when speaking to Hashem or teaching Torah to the Jewish people. This was the visible transformation of Moshe's appearance from the experience, we would say, in the last 40 days being on Har Sinai.